Hello and welcome to the Reuters 2010 World Cup podcast, day six, I believe, or should I say night six. We're doing this one tonight after three fabulous games in the second phase of matches. Argentina were up first today, Argentina 4-1. Mr. Michael Collett, you were there at that game. Give us your thoughts.
Very impressed by Argentina, Kevin. They played superbly throughout the team, the defence, the midfield, the attack. Messi was outstanding. Higuain scored three well-taken goals, two headers overall, Argentina, as I wrote in my report today, look like potential world champions.
Potential world champions in attack, certainly, but in defence, Martin De Michelis seemed keen to give his coach a heart attack.
I think that was the only mistake they made, because the defence really played superbly. When Badiso came on, replacing Walter Samuel, he was outstanding. And they, you know, with Maradona on the touchline, an inspirational, legendary figure like Maradona. There is something special about Argentina right now.
Diego Maradona looking like rather like a sort of Basque chef.
I would say an avant-garde film director if I was asked.
Okay, the avant-gardener himself. So we had Argentina turning it on, but then we had another belter with Greece against Nigeria. Bit of a shame for Nigeria in the end.
Yes, I think Nigeria, of all the African sides going into this World Cup, would have fancied their chances given the draw in Cape Town in December. But no points from two matches. Silly sending off a player who got himself red carded in most ridiculous circumstances, and then a rather uncharacteristic slip from arguably the best goalkeeper in this tournament so far.
Yeah, he was really impressive in the first game against Argentina and made a string of absolutely superb saves again. Vincent Inyama, no? And then completely threw it all away.
Yeah, you know, I think it speaks a little bit to the standard of African football in a way, and some of the foibles that we see on a regular basis in the African game. But Inyema made some good saves too this afternoon against the Greeks. Nice to see Greece win, though. I think that's also a little bit of a new World Cup chapter. And
that's right.
Still alive, though, but up against Argentina. So you've got a fancy South Korea are going to be the side to perhaps finish second in this group.
And tonight's great win for Mexico against the world champions 12 years ago, runners-up 4 years ago. France are a shadow of what they used to be. They really weren't impressive tonight, and I thought that Mexico could have scored in the first minute when Giovanni hit the post. And overall, Mexico really deserved that victory, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They played some good stuff, and they've done really, really well in qualification. They've played some beautiful football at the time. In the friendlies against England before the tournament, they impressed people with the way they moved the ball and so on. And they've just got that bit of extra steel that Mexican teams haven't had in the past. You know, I think in Torrado in the centre of midfield gives them a lot there, and Marquez at the back. I mean, Mexico have come to World Cups before with attractive attacking players and so on, but they haven't had somebody who's had 4 or 5 years of European experience at a club like Barcelona at the back.
It's interesting that the Latin American teams have after the slow start, have actually done better than anyone else. There's been seven matches. They've won five, they've drawn two, but they're really looking impressive. Do you think, Mark, that it's anything to do with the climate, the conditions, similar in parts of South America as it is in South Africa this wintry night?
I think possibly, but I think probably more it's their group. I mean, they have 18 incredibly tough matches to decide the five that come to the World Cup, and so the pedigree of those that qualify cannot be doubted. I mean, Chile in second place are going to certainly stir it up a little bit, I fancy, in Group H, or H, I think it is.
Yeah, Group H. And
I think the whole Argentina thing is fascinating because, you know, all of the negative publicity that went through the entire qualifying campaign has been obliterated in the last week with these two performances. You can't get too carried away at the start of World Cup because anything can happen, but they really look like a team today. Maradona is in with those players. He was asked after the match, you know, you have this great love affair with your players, it seems, you're kissing and hugging them. And he said, well, I just really love Veronica. And that was about the extent of that. But, you know, the implication was that they are a real unit. They are a real
and
force.
And you look at France. I mean, you know, you think about the influence of coaches or managers on teams and how much of an impact they can have in such a short space of time, because they get, what, 3 or 4 weeks before the tournament to sort of try and gel a team together. Maradona's obviously done that and bonded himself into that process. And yet France come to a tournament having already decided that their coach isn't going to be around after it. I mean, you wonder what impact that has. I mean, I know they're not playing for their places in the way that they are with a club team, but he's a sitting duck, he's a lame duck, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, it's happened before at World Cups, of course. It didn't do England all that much harm in 1990, but again, with Ericsson last time, it didn't suit England very well. England are in action again tomorrow, as are the United States. That's an intriguing group after that 1-1 draw between the two supposedly big fish in that pond. Simon Evans, you'll be at the US game tomorrow, US v Slovenia. Will we see the US turn it on?
No, I don't think we will. I think we'll see a very, very tight game tomorrow. I think we'll see the kind of game that we got fed up with watching in the first round of matches, I'm afraid, because they're both very well organised defensively. Their midfields aren't particularly overflowing with people who like to get forward and turn it on. I think it'll be very tight. They're very tightly matched, closely matched sides. I think it'll be... I don't think there'll be a lot in it, but I think maybe the key for the States will be their two wide men, Dempsey on the left and Donovan on the right. I've not been overly impressed by Slovenia's fullbacks when I've seen them, and they are the two strong points in the United States team, so that could be an interesting side to it.
Okay, and then we have England against Algeria as the late match. England obviously had a few problems with their goalkeeper and elsewhere in the team. Is this the sort of England squad that's going to come out and be inspired by the mistakes of the first game, or will they become even more introverted and go into themselves?
I think they'll come out and they'll play well tomorrow. Steven Gerrard has said he's going to play in a more attacking midfield role. England have never lost to an African side. I think, you know, the mentality of England is always very, very up and down in a World Cup, but I do think they will win tomorrow. I don't think Algeria will get anything from the game, and I think that's going to set them up for advancing into the second round.
Mark Mason, would you say anything in Algeria's favour?
Absolutely not. I think they are the worst African representative ever to come to a World Cup since Zaire in 1974, and that says a lot given some of the other African teams we've seen in this particular competition. If England do not win and win at a canter, I'd be particularly worried if I was an English fan.
Okay. And one more thing to look forward to tomorrow. We need to see if tomorrow's action can live up to today's, of course. But we also have Germany again. Germany against Serbia. And Germany impressed everyone with their 4-0 drubbing of Australia. Tougher game tomorrow, but it'd be great to see the Germans again, see if they can live up to that promise, won't it?
And it'd be good to see the Serbians too, because I think they sort of undersold themselves in a sense against Ghana. They had a couple of good chances. It just seemed a little bit flat, and considering how well they played in the qualifiers, and we had them out here in South Africa in a warm-up game about 18 months ago, they were absolutely superb. So I think the Germans might have a much tougher game than some people expect.
I remember in 2002 when France, Argentina and Italy all went out very early. Everyone thought, wow, this is going to be a World Cup. This is wonderful. All these shocks. When we got to the later stages of that World Cup, we really missed Germany. We really missed Argentina. We really missed Italy. And I think that we want those big countries to do well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a Turkey and a South Korea in a semi-final makes a bit of a turkey out of the World Cup. But, you know, this World Cup, I'm sure, will be guaranteed by the time we get to the last eight that it's going to be incredibly open. I mean, you know, Brazil might have come in as favourites, but you get the impression that there's not much between the top eight sides in the world, maybe the top ten in this field.
What about Spain last night?
I think first game, you know, they've got two more to come. They've got Chile and Honduras. I wouldn't write them off just yet. They've got great pedigree, as they've shown so many times before.
It's definitely been a first game factor, though, hasn't there? I think the teams have, you know, not been calculating, but there's just all that build-up and pressure on their shoulders, and they go out there. I mean, Clint Dempsey was saying about England this week, he said, yeah, I've seen these players playing for Liverpool and Chelsea, he says, and they come out and he said they looked edgy and nervous and almost, you know, frightened about the prospect of playing. And when you go out and you have to win, you've got to get 3 points, you're back in your normal mode then, aren't you?
Do you think the effect of the Vuvuzela actually really did affect the players in those opening games? Mark's used to it because we're in South Africa and it's been pot of the culture here for a decade or so, but I think now that the Vuvuzela novelty has worn off, you know, the players are used to it, they've gone through the first games, which weren't very good, something to play for, we might really see some great football now.
I think all I can do is second you on that with a little bit of a blast.
Okay, we did have a little bit of a blast tonight. There were sounds of a brass band breaking through, according to our reporter, in the Mexico-France game. You could actually just about hear it. Anyway, this is a World Cup that so far has swayed to Latin rhythms. Will it continue doing so? The historical precedents would say so. Every World Cup outside Europe has been won by a South American team. Nothing to suggest that won't happen this time, but we shall see. Thanks very much for joining us on our Reuters World Cup 2010 podcast. We'll be back tomorrow and every day at this World Cup. Thanks very much indeed.